He picked up the phone 2 or 3 times.
Hello.
I have Senator Proxmire, sir.
Hello.
Ready, sir.
Hello.
Bill.
Yes, Mr. President.
How are you getting along?
Fine. And you're doing marvelously. It was a great speech.
Thank you, Bill. Bill, you going to this hearing on Weaver this morning?
Yes, indeed.
Good. I wanted to give you, I don't want you to say I called you, and I don't want you to make any public reference to my, what I've said, but I want you to know it as background for your own actions and anything you want to say or anything you want to do. First of all, when we got the new department, we had a little unfortunate slip-up about the same time in the Congress on our rent supplements. They put out a new regulation that indicated that people who had a net worth up to $25,000 could be eligible for rent supplements. That created some opposition on the Hill and sufficient to beat the appropriation in the House. Some of our senators got very irritated that Weaver had put out that regulation at that time.
Yeah, I saw that.
He said that it was just a discussion stage. It wasn't final. His people had worked it up and that he hadn't finalized it at all. But Manitos brought me a note saying that one of our very dear friends, whose name I won't mention, but in the highest authority in your shop, said he wouldn't confirm him. About that time, we got out of here, and he got on a trip around the world. So Weaver called up and talked to some of my staff members while I was in the hospital and said that there's no use of his staying on if he wasn't going to get the job, and he didn't want to embarrass me, and he'd be very glad to take another job. We told him, number one, that no decision had been made on that. We didn't want to tell him about the confirmation problem. That we would like to study the functions of the department so we wouldn't make a mistake we made in HEW and just start out without any pattern at all. We'd like to study the organization problems with the fine task force we had made up of Professor Wood and a number of others, leading men, and that we doubted the wisdom of sending the first Negro in the history of the nation in the cabinet to naming him an interim appointment. We thought it'd be better if we were going to do it to wait till the Senate got him so the Willis Robertson wouldn't say that we tried slip one through or something, and it would be to his credit. I got Roy Wilkins and Louis Martin and some of them, and they talked to him, and he heartily agreed that was a better part of wisdom. John Macy considered everybody that was available, and he just had hundreds of applications reviewed of different undersecretaries in our own outfit, of different housing authority people, of different home builders, of different executives in various operations, bankers and builders and city planners and mayors like the mayor of New Haven and all that. He analyzed them all and got it down to a very small group. And then I called in Professor Wood, who had headed up the task force and who had done an exceptionally good job, and asked him to take a look at Weaver and his qualifications. And Wood, I think, was rather objective, although he could have thought that he might be the secretary himself. He's a pretty unselfish fellow. And he looked at all of them, and he came in with a recommendation to me that here's the way we ought to organize it, and a very clear pattern and good task force report. Then a separate report, he came in and said that in his judgment, the best man available for this would be Weaver in the light of all the circumstances.
Well, I'd agree.
So I called.
Very good.
I never ask another human to take the job. Now, Evans and Novak and Jack Anderson, some of them have tried to imply that we tried to get somebody else to take it and they wouldn't take it, and therefore we just finally, in disgust, selected Weaver. That's not true at all. We asked Weaver not to leave, to stay in the interim. He couldn't have been confirmed anyway, so he couldn't have been the acting head. I mean, he couldn't have been in the cabinet without being confirmed by the Senate. So nothing was lost until Congress got back here. The day after I sent my State of the Union, I immediately sent him up. Now, there's the background. He was our first choice. We thought it was best to wait till Congress got back here to name him and name a good many more, the Power Commission, the Comptroller General, the different ones, because I don't want to be subject to the charge that I acted hastily, number one, or two, that I tried to get a man a little prestige while the Congress was gone, and I want to submit him and let them debate him if they want to and decide him. Now, my purpose in calling you is I just wanted you to know that A, no one else had been offered this job. B, he was my personal choice. My inclination was to appoint him right to begin with, the first day. But when I had my little confirmation problem, I decided to be wiser, to try to talk it out and let things cool. They did cool. I talked to our Senate friend that got back, and they said, well, they were irritated, but they would support him and confirm him. I don't believe he's going to have any opposition. I would like very much for it to be unanimous. But he is and does represent my first choice, and nobody else has been offered it. Not anything to the contrary, just discrediting Weaver.
Well, that's very good to know. He has my vote, and I think that I understand that rent supplement situation. And I thought he was wrong on it, but I'd agree that he's well qualified, and I'll be enthusiastically for him.
Well, I knew you would, but I want you to know this other. So if it came up in the discussion or anything, you could just say, well, I'm in a position to say that the only man ever offered this place or ever tendered it was Robert Weaver. Although everybody in the country was considered, it was determined that he was the best equipped all around for this job, period. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much,
Bye.
Mr. President.
Bye.